All right. Today we're going to be talking about baptism. Turn to your neighbors. We're talking about being baptized. Baptism. How many know we need to wade in the water? Today, this is a very important principle that Jesus talked about in Scripture. And we see throughout Scripture this thought of being baptized. And I had a revelation the other day as I was thinking about this process. And you know, you guys know me. You know that sometimes God gives me things and I have to share them with you. And so as I was thinking about this, I had a good inspiration. How many like Krispy Kreme donuts? Anybody like Krispy Kreme donuts? Don't you love Krispy Kreme donuts? How many has ever seen Krispy Kremes made there live in the shop? Isn't that the back? That's the closest thing to heaven, this side of heaven we know is going to happen. Those things are coming off the hot conveyor box, you know, the belt. And I thought about this, you know, they come out. You ever seen them go through the fire? They go through the hot grease and they get cooked and then they get flipped over and the machine takes them on the conveyor belt. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a video right here. Let's show that video and show the process of a Krispy Kreme being made. Going through the fire. The grease is cooking them and they get flipped over, flipped their upside down. Totally changing the whole perspective of things. And after they're flipped over, look what happens after they're flipped over. It's one of the most amazing things. These things are baptized. The best icing you've ever seen. I think it's the closest thing to manna we find in the Bible. Really, I do. And they're taken out of that after they're baptized in the sweet glazed. They're then boxed up and sent out to be distributed, right? So I was thinking, that's kind of like us as Christians, that we are going along our life and all of a sudden God flips us upside down, turns our life around, and then we're called to be baptized, drenched in the sweet water of baptism, and then we come to a local church and we're boxed up, ready to be sent out into all the world to be used for God. Isn't that a good analogy? It's such a good analogy, I got to test it out this morning to make sure, because you guys know. These are really good. Anybody else would like a donut this morning? Who thinks they've really been really good and deserves a donut? Come on, raise your hand if you think, I really deserve a donut. How many's willing to give up your donut to somebody else? You guys are so good. Well, you don't have to do that because this morning I got a donut for everybody. Bring them out, guys. Come on. Bring out the donut. Everybody's getting a donut this morning. Everybody who raised their hand, they would give it up out of being sacrificed. They should get the first ones, right? Okay? You guys are so good. They're going to pass these boxes around. Grab you a donut and pass it around. Now, for those of you who are diabetic, I really apologize. They do not make sugar-free glazed donuts that they're at Krispy Kremes. But I promise you this. If you cheat and have one and go to a diabetic coma, we'll pray over you. God will bring you back right there. Come on. I was expecting an Oprah moment this morning. She gives away free donuts. People go crazy. You know, it's just crazy. Isn't that amazing? God flips our life around. How many can say God has flipped your life around? Anybody here can testify that God has flipped your life around? I can tell you for me, God has flipped my life around. He's changed my perspective. Things that I used to not be focused on, now God has got me focused in a different direction. My attitude has changed. My temperament has changed. My personality in some ways has changed for the better. God is changing who I am. It's a continual process. It's a 180. How many know that when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it's a 180 turnaround. God is pointing us in a different direction. Now, does it mean I'm still going to make mistakes? Yes, I'm still going to have times of making mistakes in my life. There's still going to be times where I fail in my life. But I'm getting up and I'm pursuing in the right direction that God has for me and He has for you. If you didn't get a donut, make sure you see one of these guys. I need somewhere to put this donut. I really want to eat it really bad, so I'm going to put it over here in this paper so it doesn't get Pastor Matt saved for me.
Yeah.
Because my kids. It is proper to lick your fingers after you have this donut. Some of you are going to have sticky fingers. That's all right. But God has changed us around. How many know that God is wanting to box us up and get us ready? He's wanting to baptize you in the sweet waters of baptism, box you up in the local church. We get boxed up. We get ready to be sent out into the world to be used of God. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say. God is wanting to use us in a different level, a different atmosphere than what you could ever think of. I believe that God is calling you to step out and to go to a deeper level in Him, to be used of Him. But one of the first principles we see in the Bible, now today, whether you've been baptized before, maybe you was baptized as a young baby, maybe you was baptized as a teenager, maybe you was baptized somewhere in your adult life, maybe you've never been baptized. That's okay. This message is for everybody today, because if you've been baptized, maybe you need to know how to explain it. You need to know why you've been baptized. Maybe you've been baptized and realized I really wasn't baptized for the right reasons, and maybe I want to have a do-over. Maybe you want today, you say, I've never been baptized, and I would like to be baptized for the first time. Next week, we're going to baptize many people here who want to be baptized. It's going to be a celebration service. Man, it's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss it. But today, we're going to talk about this word baptism and dig into it in Scripture and see what Jesus has to say, what the Bible has to say about baptism. We see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, we see the story where Jesus was baptized. Let's pick it up here. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Now, can you imagine this? Jesus has come to be baptized by John the Baptist. Isn't that a good name for baptism? Okay, John the Baptist is going to baptize Jesus. And John's like, man, I can't be baptized. You knew Jesus. You're God's son, man. And so he has this really reservation about baptizing Jesus. But what Jesus said to him, but Jesus answered him and said, permit it to be so for now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Look at the next page there. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. That's a good word there. We'll go back to this at the very end of our scripture. He came up immediately out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In Scripture, we see where Jesus was baptized. Here, John the Baptist was baptizing people. We see all throughout the book of Acts, when the New Testament church was being formed, where people were being baptized. People were getting saved, they were getting baptized. Getting saved and getting baptized. Getting saved and getting baptized. Matter of fact, I love this story in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. We see where Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost. Remember the day of Pentecost? Peter, who failed God and had this great failure denying Christ, and all of a sudden Peter stands up with boldness for the first time and says, hey, man, these people aren't drunk with wine. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is what's happening. The Jesus you persecuted, man, he's alive. He's risen from the dead, and he preaches the first message of the New Testament church after Christ's resurrection. And it says 3,000 people were saved that day. Look what it says. In those days, all those who heard gladly received his word and were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Can you imagine that? Peter preaches the first message. 3,000 people were saved, but not only 3,000 people were saved, it says 3,000 people were what? Baptized, okay? Baptized. We see where all through Scripture where we see continually people were saved and they were baptized. There's a guy named Philip. He was an evangelist traveling through South Jerusalem. We see in Scripture where he met up with an Ethiopian man who happened to be reading the book of Isaiah. He talked to him about what he was reading. The man accepted Jesus. He pulled his chariot over right there, and they pulled the chariot over and went down to the river and was baptized right away. We see all through Scripture where people were saved constantly and then getting baptized. We see this continually. Philip began to do this. Cornelius, whole household. Peter was witnessing to Cornelius. Remember Cornelius? And then Cornelius said, man, come home and share this with my family. And he took it home and he shared the gospel with the family. And said, all of them were saved. And it says immediately they were all baptized. There's something about baptism that's really, really big. And I want to talk to you about some four big points of baptism that we cannot miss. Four big points about baptism. First of all, baptism is about obedience. It really is. It's about obedience. I think that we need to think about obedience in a big way. Because really, in one word, we can sum up our Christian walk in this word obedience. It's living life with grace in our life, accepting Jesus Christ as grace that he's given us. But it's also about being obedient. Obedient. And one of the first things that we're commanded to do as a Christian is to be baptized. And it's an obedient thing. It's a hard issue that God's wanting us to be obedient, submitting ourselves to water baptism. Well, I just don't know if it's really necessary. Is it really necessary? Let me say this to you. If there was anybody in the world who didn't need to be baptized, who would that have been? Jesus. And he led by example. So if Jesus was baptized, how much more do you and I need it? We need a little extra soaker, don't we? Some of you guys, we need to hold you down a little longer in the water. When I got baptized, they said, we're going to do it three times just to make sure you get all that off you, Pastor. We know. It wasn't pretty. Anyway, obedience is a big thing, and I believe this heart of obedience today that God is looking for. It's a process. When we get baptized, it's a process of going public on the record, of being obedient to what God's asked you to do. Obedience is a big part of the Christian walk. Many of us have made a faith decision. But have you gone public with your faith decision? Have you gone public with your faith decision? It's one thing to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've done that a long time ago. Maybe you've done it here recently. Maybe you've done it several years ago. It doesn't make a difference. If you have not gone public with baptism, then you're not being obedient to what God's asked us to do. It's a simple fact of being obedient. I just don't like to get wet. Boo-hoo, you know? Sometimes we do things we don't like to do. How many of us would tell our children that? You know, just going to have to do it. It's just what's good for you. And this is what Jesus has asked us to do. He's asked us to be baptized underwater and to identify with him. Which brings us to our next point, which is simply this, identification. Baptism is big because it helps us identify with Jesus Christ. Romans 6 says it like this. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? That's what he's saying. He said, listen, since we've been born again, we're saying we're dying to sin, then how can we continue to live in sin? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Jesus Christ in what? In baptism, we joined him in his death. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by glorious power of the Father, now he also may live new lives. Now we know this to be this, that when we are baptized, it says we are identifying with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Was our Savior crucified on the cross? Yes. Did he die on the cross? Yes. Was he buried? Yes, he was buried in the tomb. Did he get raised from the dead? Yes, okay. So when we are in the water, what's happening is this. It's a point of saying this, that we are being buried underwater, raising up from the water, and we're saying this, that we are identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we make a public proclamation to be baptized, we're stepping out on faith and saying, you know what? I'm going to identify publicly with Jesus Christ. It's a thing of identifying publicly with Jesus Christ. How many here are Chiefs fans? Anybody a Chiefs fan here? How many is proud to be a Chiefs fan? You don't care, do you? You don't care to the good seasons or the bad seasons. You're proud to be a Chiefs fan. And isn't that a good thing? I mean, we say, I'm not a Chiefs fan. It's okay. I don't have anything against Chiefs fans. But when you're a Chiefs fan, you're a Chiefs fan, aren't you? You don't care. When they have a bad season, you're still a Chiefs fan. But what if you say, I'm a diehard, man. I'm a Chiefs fan. I love the Chiefs. Woo! You know, I'm there, man. But you know what? I ain't going to watch them on TV. I can't stand to watch them on TV. I can't stand to watch them. I hate the coaches. I hate the players. I hate the owner. I hate the colors of this jersey. I hate the stadium. I hate the 2-hour drive to go to the game. I hate not finding the parking lot crowded. But I'm a fan. Big fan. Big fan. Big fan. You know, when you're a fan, you do crazy stuff, don't you? You go early and you tailgate. Paint your face up. You wear the jerseys around. You spend your rent money on tickets that you don't have. Come on to your wife. I don't know what happened. Money disappeared. Oh, by the way, we're going to the game this week. Okay. You do stupid stuff that we shouldn't do, but we're fans, you know, and that's the same way. Oh, I'm a fan of Jesus Christ. I belong to this team. But man, I don't want to wear the jersey. I don't want to identify in public with him. It's the same principle. When baptism, we're saying, you know what? I'm a part of the team. I am going public. I have made the team, and I'm proud of it. I'm going to wear it on my sleeve. I'm proud of it. I'm not afraid to get up publicly and say, I'm identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't have that attitude, then I doubt really that you're a Christian here today. Ooh, that's hard, isn't it? But I'm just telling you the truth, because when you are saved, there's something that changes on the inside of you, says, you know what? I don't care who knows it. I want to identify with Jesus Christ. I want people to know. Like I said before, it's not our faith is not a private thing. It's a personal thing, isn't it? Our relationship with Jesus is a very much a personal thing. Our faith is a personal thing. It's about a personal relationship. But listen, it's not a private thing. We're not secret agents. We go public with our faith. We go public with our decision to serve Christ. We may bow our heads and raise our hands in a private time for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But there comes a time when you say, you know what, I'm making a public identification by saying, I'm going to stand in front of anybody and say, I'm going to be baptized. I'm identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a big thing. We obey. We're obeying what God's asked us to do. And then we are identifying, making it public that I belong to Jesus Christ. It also symbolizes a big washing thing, man. It's a big point. Washing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. When I think about baptism, my sins have been forgiven, forgotten. And as we are going through the waters represent what? It represents the representation of us being cleansed, being purified through the blood of Jesus Christ. When we're baptized in water, what do we wash our hands in? We wash our hands in water. We take a shower in water. We bathe in water. Water is a symbol of becoming clean. It's symbolic of what we use to purify and to clean things. And so water is a big thing. It's a symbol of saying, you know what? I've been washed away. My old man has passed away. My new man is stepping up to the plate. You guys knew me as a person who made a lot of mistakes, as a big failure, but I'm stepping out in the new person in Jesus Christ. He has washed away my sins. I can stand up here today forgiven in grace, and water baptism identifies with the grace we've been given. It identifies with the washing away of the sins that have happened in our life. He's already done the work. He's already washed away our sins, but when we walk through salvation and then we come to a point of being baptized, we're saying, I am accepting this free gift of salvation that he's given to me. I'm making it public. Water also symbolizes, this baptism also symbolizes, and it has to do with water, symbolizes judgment. You ever thought about that? Water really is a word for judgment in the Bible. Look in the Bible, when God brought judgment upon his people, many times he used what? He used water. Think about Noah. What happened in Noah's day when God brought judgment on the earth? He brought a flood. He brought the waters to judge the earth. Think about Moses, when Moses and the children of Israel, when they were being pursued and their backs were against the, remember what happened here? Backs against the sea, and God parted the what? He parted the waters, right. He parted the waters, and they walked through on dry ground. The children of Israel will walk through on dry ground. And then as the enemy pursued them, what happened? God caused the waters to come back together and overtake them, killing away their enemy. I mean, there's something about water that God has used as a sign of judgment. And when they're passing through the judgment, when we go through the waters, we are symbolizing, you know, God, I have passed through the judgment, and I'm coming out clean. Hallelujah. God, I'm passing through the judgment waters, but I'm not staying there. I passed through the judgment waters, but I don't have to stay there. You, by grace, have given me your son, Jesus Christ, and I am identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ. And even though I deserve judgment in the water, I'm coming back out because I have been set free. I have been made pure. I've been made righteous. I've been made holy. Man, that's a huge thing in our Christian walk. And so water symbolizes judgment, but we're thankful that we don't stay in the judgment. We're thankful that we have a place of freedom in Jesus Christ. And so baptism is a big thing, very big thing, as we learn to be obedient. And I just tell you, this is such a hard issue that many times in our life, we just think, well, I know it's okay, but it's not really for me. And I say to you, it's a hard issue. It really is. Baptism, I believe, more than anything else, is really a hard issue. It's saying, God, I want to make a public stand for you, and I want to humble myself and do what you've asked me to do. There's some questions that come along with baptism that many people ask, and I want to answer some of those today and get right to them. This is some of the most common questions that people ask about baptism. Let's answer some of them today. First of all, there's the baby question. The baby question. Isn't that a cute little boy there? I don't know whose son that was, but looks like his daddy, doesn't he? Yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. The baby question. Do we baptize our children when they are born? Anyone ever had that question asked you before? People do that. We know a lot of people have done that. Some of you here today have been baptized when you were an infant, when you were just a baby. And I'm going to show you in Scripture today. We're going to look in Scripture, and I'm going to show you exactly what the Bible has to say about us baptizing our babies. How many today say, I want to know exactly what the Bible has to say about baptizing our babies? Raise your hand. Say, I want to know this. This is very clear. Okay. Open up your Bible. Turn to anywhere, and you will not find anything that says in the Bible about baptizing our babies. The Bible says nothing about baptizing our babies. You won't find it in the Scripture anywhere. The Bible says nothing. Some of you are ready to write that down. I've been waiting for the Scripture, and it's not in there. There's nothing in the Scripture that talks to us about baptizing our babies. Now, it does say this, that Jesus, what? He said, bring the children to me. He blessed the children. He talked about us nurturing the children, about teaching our children, about training our children. But never in Scripture do we see where we were told, and have seen the example where we were told to baptize our children. Now, if you were baptized as a baby, it doesn't mean that you're going to hell, okay? You didn't break the cardinal sin. You're not a big, it's okay. It's okay because it was done more of a symbolic thing, okay? And that's why we dedicate our children here at Destiny Church. We don't baptize our babies. We dedicate our babies because we believe in giving them to the Lord. And that becomes our symbolic thing. We give our children to the Lord. We bless them and pronounce blessing over them. Say, God, whatever you want to do in our life, we bless that and give them to you. We're committed to train them up in the ways of the Lord. We're committed to teaching them. But we see in baptism that baptism should come at a point in a person's life or even in a child's life when they can realize and make a decision for themselves that I want to be baptized. It's a personal issue. I can't make this decision for my children. You need to be baptized. If I do, it means nothing to them or nothing for them. They get nothing out of it. I get the happiness of saying, yeah, you did it, but you know, not until in their heart they want to be baptized, and they do it because they want to identify with Jesus Christ publicly, that it becomes effective in what it was designed to do in their life. So today, do we baptize babies? No, we don't baptize our babies. If you have a baby and want to be baptized, we're not going to condemn anybody who does that, but we just don't do it because we don't see in Scripture where it was done, and we see in Scripture where we're supposed to bless our children. It didn't say we're supposed to baptize our babies when it comes to our babies. We do baptize our children when they come to that age who want to be baptized. We have baptized a lot of children in Destiny Church. When they come to that age on their own, it's the baby question. Do we baptize our babies? We don't. Let's answer the next question, the Clorox question. This is the big one right here. The Clorox question is what I call it. Is baptism like a spiritual Clorox? Does baptism wipe away all my sins? And the answer is no, it's not. Baptism was never meant to be a thing of us being forgiven. Baptism in itself is not, it's not a process that, all right, now we're saved because we've been baptized. Or now, when I'm baptized, my sins are forgiven. Your sins have already been forgiven when Jesus died on the cross. But the fact that you have come to confession saying, God, I need you. I confess you as Lord and Savior. I'm accepting what you did on the cross. And then at that point, I enter into the kingdom of God. At that point, I enter into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven already. Baptism becomes what? It becomes a point of me saying this, that I am a publicly identifying what Jesus has already done on the cross. I'm publicly identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ. So baptism in itself does not wash away my sins. Some people think, you know what, if I could just get my son to be baptized, I want to make sure. If I could just get my daughter to be baptized, I just want to make sure. Just going to make sure they're going to make it to heaven. Baptism doesn't push you to heaven one step closer. What baptism does, when the person chooses to do it, it makes them closer in obedience to what God has asked them to do, and it prepares them for the next level that God has for them. See the difference? There's a big difference there. It's a public identification. It's saying, yes, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But baptism in itself is no different than you going home and taking a shower. Man, you're going to be going to get clean from the water, but spiritually you didn't get any more clean just because you took a shower at home. Spiritually, you don't get any more clean just because you're baptized. I don't get any more clean than I already was. But the simple fact of me being obedient and saying, God, I want to step out and do what you've asked me to do. It's a big thing. Through grace, we have been saved. Not by works, is what he says. Not by works am I saved. It's through grace only. It's by grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works that no one can boast. It's the grace that we've been saved by. It's the grace that God has blessed us. And to answer the eternity question. The eternity question. That's the question all of you guys want to know. So technically speaking, can you get to heaven without being baptized? Anyone ever asked that question? Anyone ever been asked that question? Yeah, a lot of us have here, right? A lot of us have asked the question, can you get to heaven without being baptized? That's the big thing. It's a big question. And I say that we can look in Scripture and find out exactly what Scripture says. I'm not going to tell you my opinion. I'm just going to tell you what Scripture says. And we see in Scripture where it says that there are people who went to heaven who are not baptized. Case in point, let's look at the man on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross and the thief identified with Jesus on the cross, and he said, leave this man alone, for he is the Son of God. In his own words, he was saying, this man is the Son of God. He's done no wrong. We are sinners, but this man has done no wrong. And Jesus looked at him and said, today, you are going to be with me in paradise. Did that man come off the cross and get baptized that we didn't know about? No, he didn't. There's been people that I've prayed for on their deathbed who I know made it to heaven. And in their last dying days, they're in the hospital, and they accepted Jesus Christ. I believe they went to heaven, full-fledged, believe that 100%. But the question is this. It's not whether I need to be baptized to go to heaven. The question is, do I want to be obedient? It's like I just talked about earlier. Do I want to be obedient and go to heaven? I want to do what God's asked me to do. I don't want to just get by. How many have people in your life that you know they live their whole life just to get by, and it just drives you crazy? You know what I'm talking about? How many have children or teenagers that you know do that sometimes, okay? How many have employees you know you do that? How many have friends or family members you know that they just want to get by? They do just the minimum amount necessary to get by. And it drives you crazy, doesn't it? You're like, man, put a little effort in life. Get the most that life has for you. The same thing, man. Put a little effort. Get everything that God has for you. I want every blessing that God has for me. I want to be obedient to everything God's asked me to do. I want to walk in full compliance. I want to walk in full obedience to what God's asked me to do. And if I haven't been baptized, I'm living a life of disobedience. It doesn't please God. It doesn't please God. Is grace there for me? Yes, grace is there in a mighty way for me. But it doesn't please the Lord. And so I want to walk a heart that's pleasing to God. I want God to know that I meant what I said when I said, I believe you are the Messiah. And I want to live for you. And so I'm going to put my actions where my mouth is. How many of you I can say, God, I love you. But man, when I get out there and say, I'm going to be baptized. I'm making a public stand. And people know I meant what I said. People know that I'm making a public identification with Jesus Christ. It's a very important thing. So we answer that question. Let's answer this question today, the last question. The H2O question. The water question. When you're baptized, do you have to be underwater? Can you be sprinkled? Can you be hosed down with a squirt gun? What do you have to do to be baptized? Well, let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 5. We just looked at it a few minutes ago, the story. It says Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. Mark 1:10 says Jesus was coming up out of the water. We read that a second ago. He's coming up out of the water. Jesus was not sprinkled. He wasn't just throwing water on. He was immersed underwater. He went underwater and came out of the water. He went underwater and came out of the water. That's a big deal. It's a big deal because how many know that if I want to bury something, what happens? I bury it. If I want to bury this Bible, what do? I'm going to take a little dirt and just sprinkle some dirt on it. Is that Bible buried? No. If I want to bury this Bible, I'm going to go out, I'm going to dig a big hole, I'm going to put the thing all the way down the hole, and I'm going to cover it up. That's how I bury something, right? And so today, if I'm going to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I'm going to go underwater and come back out. How many say today, I want to be dead to my old self? I want to be buried to the man I used to be. I want to be buried to the woman I used to be. I want to come out a new creation. I want to come out all things made new. Is that the kind of Christian walk that you want? Yes, it is. That's what we want in our life. And so when we are baptized, we are immersed completely underwater, signifying that the old man is being dead, signifying that Jesus Christ was dead. But when I come up out of the water, I'm signifying that I believe in Jesus Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection, I'm believing that my sins are washed away, and I'm coming up a new person, walking full of grace, full of mercy, full of righteousness. I'm not going to be the person I used to be, Rob. I'm not going to be the person I used to be, Bill. I'm not going to be the person I used to be today. Because why? Because God has called me out, man. And I'm happy today to say I've been baptized and I've identified with my death, burial, and resurrection. Matter of fact, it says that when we are baptized, it says that we identify with the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Easter's coming up in what? In 2 weeks here. We got Easter coming up. And all across the world, there's going to be these pageants going on about the tomb. And don't you love that scene when Jesus comes out of the tomb? I mean, it's the whole climax of the Easter pageant. I love watching a passion play or watching any kind of production that shows this. And we always are looking forward to the climax of the whole thing is when the stone is rolled away. You know that, and the sound system just rocks with bass, lightning's going off, and you know, the whole thing's happening. And the fog machine's just letting light come out of there, you know, and all this fog coming out of their tomb, and Jesus ascends out of there. We're like, woo! We get goosebumps. We're like, hallelujah! Woo! We don't care who's around, man. We're clapping. We're crying. Hallelujah. That's our Savior. That's our God that rose him from the dead. I mean, that reenactment makes us come alive, doesn't it? He says that when we are baptized, it says the same power, it's done with the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power happens through us when we are baptized. That same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is raising you out, making old things become passed away. All things are becoming new. And I'm becoming a new man, a new creation. Wow. It's a big deal. Baptism is a big deal. So today I ask you, have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Today in your bulletin you see as our musicians are coming this morning, our praise team's coming up this morning to close us out in the song. Many of you already filled this out, and I'm proud for you guys already on the ball. Before I even preach this message, we have a lot of people already filling this out saying, I want to be baptized. But if you haven't today, I ask you that question. What's holding you back? Really, what's holding you back? Let's go for it, man. I want to baptize you. I'm going to celebrate with you. This church is going to come alive. We're going to celebrate with you as you make a public proclamation that I am identifying with the death, burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What better time to do it on a Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter? We said we're identifying with Jesus Christ. If you haven't filled one of these out today, get in your bulletin. Fill it out. I want to do that. If you don't have one, stop by the information desk on your way out today. Say, I'm ready. I'm ready to be baptized. And then next week, we're going to get a hold of you and tell you when to be here and how to walk through everything. We're going to baptize you. It's going to be an awesome time. We're going to have our baptism filled up and out here in the front. It's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome service. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be so great. I want you to be a part. If you haven't been baptized, now listen, maybe some of you here, maybe you're like me. You were baptized as a young child. As I talked about, I did it because, you know, my parents or maybe peer pressure was going on at a camp and, you know, I was really young and I was out there and I just got baptized because I just wanted to get wet, man. You know, it's like a fun thing to do. I wouldn't have an understanding of what was going on. But later on, as I got into my college years and I really began to self with God in a new, fresh way, I wanted a fresh thing with God. And I said, God, I'm going to be baptized again because I have a full understanding of what's going on. And I made a public baptism a second time because I wanted, maybe here today, maybe you're baptized as a child. You say, Pastor, today I want to do it again as an adult because I've had a new start in my life. Maybe you were baptized as a baby, as you talked about earlier. Maybe you're baptized as a baby. Maybe you're raised in a religion that baptizes infants. And we're not condemning that. Listen, we're not condemning that. I'm just telling you the reason why we do it as adults and why we do it as an age of accountability when you understand what's happening because it becomes a personal thing. You say, today I want to be baptized again as an adult or as a teenager. I want to be baptized because I want today to make that as my decision, not because anybody made it for me, but today I want to do it because I'm making a personal decision to follow after Christ. Today, don't leave here before you sign up if you haven't been baptized. Now is your time. Today's the day. Sign up. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Making a fresh start of my life. What God wants me to do. I believe that baptism symbolizes that. I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. We're going to sing a dear old song to the church that says, draw me nearer to you. I believe that baptism is a great way of drawing near to Christ as we identify with him. Let's sing it today as we close up the service. Make it personal to
you. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love for me. And I long to rise in the arms of grace.
public, man. I'm ready to go public. Are you ready to go public with your faith? How many are ready to go public with your faith today? Say, I'm ready to go public with my faith in a new way. If you haven't signed that paper, sign the paper, fill it out. We'll stop by the thing today. I'm going to say a prayer of blessing over you today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every person here. Lord, I thank you for the many lives that are making decisions to be publicly identifying with your baptism. God, I know a lot of people next week are going to get baptized. Some have already signed up. Some are going to sign up today. And when they do, Father, I believe this is going to be a life-changing event in their heart. It's going to be a life-turning event as they make a public stand to identify with Jesus Christ. God, thank you for everyone here today, God. We speak blessing over their life. God, we are the head. We are not the tail. No weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of the Lord. And Father, we thank you that we're living in your promises. We thank you we're living in your freedom today, God. We bless your name together. One more time. Let's bless the Lord. God bless you today. Turn around, hug a neck before you leave. Shake a hand. Amen. It was good to be great. See you in service today.